Have you ever left a performance review going, now what? Or not being able to answer the age-old question, where would you like to see yourself in 5 or 10 years? Or even worse, answering that question with, not here. If you have, then know that you are not alone. So today, we are talking about what it's like to be mid-career, wondering what's next, and realizing you are more than said career. Welcome to the Being Better Every Day podcast, where we make your days more peacefully productive while you're juggling all the things. I'm your host, Julie Wenslick, a millennial mom, finance professional, and founder of P&W Designs. I know that as a mom, business owner, corporate girly, or a combination of all three like myself, sometimes life can feel like a lot. With the simplicity and systems in being better every day, we create habits and routines that support your life, create calm in the chaos, and put the you back in your everyday. So grab those headphones, put on your shoes, and join me on a walk while we dig into today's episode. So welcome. And again, thank you for joining me in today's conversation. You know, in my intro, I say, join me on a walk while we dig into today's episode. I happen to be recording this mid-March, and it is freezing out today. So I will not be going for a walk outside, at least, but I will be using my walking pad, which is definitely my favorite thing to do while I am home working. In today's conversation, you're going to get insights into my own career, as well as questions at the end for yourself to reflect on. A question I asked at the start, have you ever left a performance review going, now what? Well, that has been me the last couple of years. I recently had my performance review with my manager at work and gotten an exceeds or exceptionally exceeds for probably the 9th out of the last 10 years that I've been at my organization. And they say it's rare to receive that rating, but for me, excelling my career often comes easier than excelling at my own personal life. So let's rewind back to my 20s. If you are somebody early career or maybe early in a career change, then you know what it feels like. Like there's energy in your career, there's hope, there's appetite for growth professionally and with your compensation. There's a belief that you can change the system and that you can make an impact. I spent the greater part of my 20s getting ahead, learning, bettering myself, researching, network, growing, and it definitely paid off. At one point, I was the youngest senior consultant in my organization. And then again, if you're new here, I am a workplace retirement plan consultant, which means I'm a licensed financial advisor and I work with organizations to manage their 401ks. So my job is to meet with executives who are responsible for the management of the 401k and advise on the investments in the plan, help them with their plan design, and ultimately get great outcomes for their employees to make sure that they can successfully retire. I was also the youngest manager in my division, and I had hit my six-figure income goal by the time I was 30. Then something started to happen around 2017, where my career started to feel like an episode of Wipeout or American Ninja Warrior, if you don't know Wipeout, dodging obstacles and constantly getting knocked down. Now, the show The Wipeout ended, I think, in like 2014, so if you don't know what it is, look it up, but basically, it's a bunch of these like people, contestants getting hit with like these big foam things and trying to dodge them and get across an obstacle course. To put that into perspective, in 2017, a longtime consultant left our job or our career to work for the church, which meant we had to, you know, find a replacement for that individual, as well as introduce all the clients to the new individual. Then in 2018, I lost a coworker to suicide and had to call his 45 clients and inform him that he had passed. Even though I wasn't the manager and even though I wasn't the one like it wasn't my job to, I ended up calling the majority of the clients and taking on that lead, which was extremely difficult. In 2019, another consultant left the firm, the one that we had hired in 2017, go to a different industry. So he left being a financial advisor. In 2020, well, we all know what happened in 2020. That was a lot. And I had hired somebody 2 days. At this point, I was the manager. I had hired somebody 2 days before we went full-time remote. So I was onboarding a new consultant in the midst of, well, the pandemic. In 2021, I had to let go of my first employee due to poor performance. And in 2022, a peer and a friend of mine, that person that we had hired in 2020, that I had gotten very close to, left to go to a competitor. And when that happened, after again, kind of that wipeout, like feeling like it was one thing after another. I, at the time had called my past, now not boss, but had called my boss and was like, I'm done. I'm done being a manager. I'm done taking these hits. Like, I need to let go. And let's be clear, some of those years I was the direct manager to the team, and in others I was the one tasked with the tactical implementation of making sure our clients were taken care of. And it was a lot. And I had hit my breaking point, and I had started to emotionally disconnect from my career, and my, I would say, my identity as my career. And in someone in corporate America may think of that as like, oh my gosh, she's not, connected to her corporate job anymore, and she doesn't care, and she's, there is definitely this belief in corporate America that we're a family, and that everyone loves the culture, and that everyone, owes their life to their job. And I think I hit my breaking point in 2020, and I was like, no, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Like, I will do a great job for my job, but it is not my identity. It is not my life. For me, that means you are more than your career. When you start disconnecting your identity from your career, those obstacles become easier. You realize it's not a reflection of you, and change just becomes easier. And it becomes something that you kind of, for me, I was able to accept things but easier, and understand that things will always be out of my control in my career, and it's how you choose to react to them. It's how you choose to identify with them. I think a lot of times, like, the reason I've stayed at my career, and I would say at my current organization for so long, is because I no longer believe that everything will be perfect at any organization. There will always be obstacles. There will always be things you do not agree with because it's not your company. And there are things that serve me really well in my career and the reason I stay at my corporate job. But there are things that I absolutely do not like. And that's okay, because guess what? It's not my life. And this is just a part of my life. It's very hard to, like, conceptualize or explain, in my opinion. But, like, for me in my 20s, I felt like I was my career, right? My primary identity was my career. And now, mid-30s, I'm sitting here going, it's such a small part of who I am. And that makes a huge difference in being able to ebb and flow with what your career throws at you. What else does it bring forward for me? Well, it also brings forward two other themes that I truly believe people will feel mid-career. And I'm using that just as because I feel like I need to categorize it. It's the question of now what, as well as realizing that growth is no longer my primary objective. Let's start with the question of now what. What does that feel like? For me, it felt like, again, I spent the majority of my 20s learning. I spent the majority of my 20s learning new things and challenging myself and researching and knowing that I had so much to learn to be the best consultant that I could possibly be. And then you get to a point in your career where you're just sitting there going, I don't feel like I'm learning anymore, especially not on an everyday basis. And I don't feel like I'm challenged. A lot of times I feel like I'm bored in my career. And if you sit in that and you just let yourself be bored and don't challenge yourself at any other area of your life, you will stumble. You will feel lost. And so for me, I felt like there was a point where my learning curve at my corporate job just, like, flatlined, right? Like, it's, I don't know, there's, like, a name for the curve, but, like, where it's very steep in the beginning and then it kind of flattens out. I'm at that, like, flatten out point, right? It doesn't mean that I don't stop growing. It just means that I stopped growing in my career. I've learned to embrace my identity outside of my career and learn outside of my career. I am a believer. I'm a friend. I'm a mom. I am a business owner. And I'm learning to embrace that I'm just me without a label. Things that I've learned and researched and grown in the last 3 years, right? And they're going to be all over the place because I have a business too. But hormone health and the importance of it and what hormone imbalances look like. And not there yet, but that will continue to be a learning curve as I look at perimenopause and all of the fun stuff that comes with that. How to run Pinterest outsourcing, how to write a client contract, how to launch a website, the importance of SEO, how to design a brand, the importance of our subconscious, the impact of anxiety on my body, the importance of integrative medicine, the growth and acceptance of changing my views on my faith, which has been hard because we've been met with a lot of resistance out, you know, within our family about leaving the Catholic Church. And understanding that it's not just about showing up in my faith, it's or just, you know, checking the box. It's about actually showing up and understanding what faith means to me, which has been a huge journey that I don't talk about publicly a lot, but it's something I'm definitely learning as, I mean, I look back 4 years ago and my faith is a completely different faith than it was 4 years ago. I have, and this is not really a growth thing, but I feel like my friendship circle is completely different in the last 4 years. Having a business has allowed me to make friends and put myself out there where I am much better as an introvert and just staying at home. And I'm so thankful that I've actually have friends. And that sounds weird, but like, it's hard to make friends in your 30s. And if you don't have strong friends in your 20s, I think it can feel very lonely when you enter kind of that stage of motherhood. I'm sure the list is like 10 times longer, but that shows my point that if you're feeling lost or stuck, you can still feel alive in your life through growth and other avenues. If you're in that kind of mid-career stage where you're just like, now what? The other thing that I had kind of talked about with that, like, you know, two themes is questioning that now what? When I was in my 20s, I used to look at people mid-career and thought they were lazy or they didn't care or they were too stuck in their ways. And I realize now that there is beauty in the pause of your career, that you can do your job and not have it be your life. You can have boundaries. Check out the show notes. There's a, like, I did a specific episode on boundaries with a coworker that I still love. It was one of my early episodes. So make sure you check that out if you are newer and have not listened to that. You know, I think there, you get to a point in your career at some point, and I do know people in this other than me, where you're sitting and looking around the table and going, I think I'm capped out. I, you know, for example, for me, I'm a senior consultant in my organization. I have been very clear that I do not want to be in management in my organization. I've tried it, and I completely felt like my hands were tied as a middle manager. I had no control over the compensation policies. I had no control over, you know, if I felt like an employee deserved a performance review or performance-based compensation increase. And therefore, I felt like I really didn't have control over retention, right? We lost some really good people in the last 4 years because our base pay was under market and our corporate culture wasn't fun enough. And I had no control over that. And that's the only next move in my organization. Right? I'm already a senior consultant. The only other position is management. So I'm capped out. I am capped out from a comp perspective. I am capped out from a position perspective. And I never thought mid-30s that I would be sitting here saying that, right? I have 20 plus years potentially left in my corporate career. And you're telling me I'm just going to be like stuck in the same position, in the same thing, doing the same thing for the next 20 years. That is why growth outside and having passions outside of your corporate job is so important. Because think of how daunting that is for people who do hit that point, right? Where they are successful early in their careers and then they all of a sudden get stuck, right? And so for me, I'm stuck not only from a position perspective, but I have been blessed enough that I am at or above market at other competitors, which means I'm kind of stuck in my current organization as well. And so I have had to take ownership of understanding that I need to craft the life that I want to live. And that includes my corporate job, meaning I have a great amount of flexibility and trust with my management because they know I will do my job well. And that flexibility has allowed me to create the career that I want, meaning I have chosen to, you know, implement health measures and making sure that I eat and cook good food during the day or that I work out in the mornings and that I've removed my commute most days. Like day to day, I love how I've crafted my career. And that is because I have been intentional about letting go of the growth side and sitting in the pause, right? Sitting and knowing that I actually do have it well and good, and I need to be grateful for what I have. And the other weird thing about this, and I'm assuming most people hit this point as well, but keeping my nose out of the corporate politics. They're in large organizations, and I've only ever worked for large organizations. So my first job out of college, the organization that I worked for had 140,000 employees. Publicly traded organization in the S&P 500, and I was a number. And in that organization, there was local politics. So I remember, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here, but when I started in my 20s, I was the youngest person in the branch by far. And I mean like 20 years. And the front desk lady, I would help her kind of take shifts for her and do backup for her, even though I was what's called a registered associate. So I was a licensed associate that would put in stock trades and bonds and work with wealth management customers to kind of get backup information, organize the meetings, etc. And I would help the front desk every once in a while because I was the lowest man on the totem pole. She used to call me Cupcake because I was probably 30 years younger than her, at least. And sweetie, and these like really names that just nails on a chalkboard, right? Like I just could not stand being called Cupcake. I am not a soft individual. And Cupcake is not how you would describe me. So, she would call me Cupcake. And then the branch manager, who was like 70 years old, they looked at me like I was, God, how do I say this? Like some plaything of the advisor, right? Like I hit so many gender-based stereotypes in my first organization. And I mean, it was awful, right? They didn't respect me because I was 20 years old and a female. And even though I was already excelling at that point, and I get it, like now looking back, right? You learn a lot in your first 10 years of your career. But at the same time, I didn't deserve to have the gender-based roles thrust on me. And I think being in a male-dominated organization or career, not organization, but male-dominated career, it's easy to assume or the men are easy to assume that women don't know anything and that they're just meant to be associates and they're not meant to grow. And the amount of times I've been told, well, you should just be grateful for where you are. I've had CFOs hit on me and ask me to come back to their house in when I've been traveling out of town for, certain organizations. I don't work with those organizations anymore, but just FYI. Or I've had, a CEO of a tech organization like ask me to do a runway show for him. I was literally starting a meeting. I was presenting and whatever, being a financial advisor. And in my 20s, and he would go, "Oh my God, I love your dress. Like, you need to do a little runway show for us." And I'm like, "That's not professional." Or he would like do the, where you have a handshake and then they like pull you closer, right? There's the amount of times that I got hit with gender-based issues. It makes me sensitive too. And I know I'm totally off tangent here, but that's why it's so important to have an identity outside of your career. Because that stuff can really make you want to run away, for one, but also just like it makes me super passionate on making sure that people are respected regardless of their age, regardless of their gender. And it also makes me super passionate for having stuff outside of my career. Because if I sit in that identity of that, female financial advisor, it can get really difficult sometimes, and especially with vendors, right? Where, for a long time, I was just the assistant, even though I was managing way more than anyone else in the region. I got to a point where I needed to be somebody other than my career. I know this is kind of a little bit of a tangent day, but at the same time, like I want what's been hitting me is how much more I am than that one thing. And I have friends in my life who are helping me realize that, who are helping me, continue to lean into I can perform in my career, but not work at nights. And I can speak up if I feel like they're taking advantage of me. And I can wholeheartedly look at somebody in management or leadership and be like, I don't want your life. I have no desire to have your life. And I think the people that are like above me, I guess is how I would put it, I think there's an often common misconception with certain generations that, oh, they want my life. Do you remember that movie, like the Devil Wears Prada, where at the end of the movie, or when they're, I think, in like London or Paris, I think it was probably Paris, and she was like, everyone wants my life. And Anne Hathaway, I'm forgetting her actual character name, but Anne Hathaway like threw a cell phone in the fountain and like walked away. That is how I hit my crossroads, where I was doing the things because that's what I should be doing. I was getting into management. I was excelling in those things. And I hit my wall in 2022 of just like literally, I mean, figuratively, but it felt like that moment of throwing the cell phone in the pond and walking away, of being like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not living my life for my career. And I think what the last 2 years have proven to me is that you can still do well while keeping your own boundaries on that and keeping your own identity. Today is just a little bit of that encouragement, right? That you can be more than that, that you can be all the things. And yeah, some days it gets tough. I have days where my anxiety takes over and it's hard. But even on my worst days, I feel alive in my life. I can't say that I felt like that in my 20s. I felt alive in my career and I felt like I was like the boss. I was gonna say boss bitch, but I felt like I was the boss bitch. Where I was like, my career was mine. I knew I was performing well. I was making that six figures. I was, buying the house and having the baby. My biggest work in my 30s has been like starting to lean into that feminine energy and leaning into resting. I mean, my best design work is coming from me resting. My best podcast outlines are coming from me just sitting in silence. And if you would have told me that 10 years ago, I would have thought you were nuts. I have everything I ever wanted in my 20s, and I'm learning to slow down enough to actually enjoy it and sit with the quiet. And I know I still have a long way to go on that. Especially people who know me know that I still really love to be busy, but I don't spend my day centered on my thoughts and my career. It's a part of my life, but it's not my life. And if you're feeling lost, I want this to be that encouragement that you can make those changes. And if you are somebody who isn't taking lunch breaks or barely has time to pee, you need to do an audit of your life and you need to do an audit of your career and being like, what can I control here? What can I speak up to? And I know those in management, it's even harder to do that, but we have to model for our own employees that there is a balance there. Obviously, recently I had on Kayla on the podcast and she's in management, right? And she is modeling that belief and boundaries. I see a lot of trends on TikTok about that too, about millennial managers, breaking the mold. It's obviously a generational assumption, but I do find that it's important. The toxic corporate culture of living only for your career has to end. There is so much more than that. I hope you see it too. For those of you who are mid-career, this is really just meant to be an encouragement that if you're feeling like that, know that you're not alone. The other side of that is if you are not feeling alive and your career is taking over, start by doing a weekly audit in the Better Everyday Five Habits. Again, there'll be a link for the free workbook if you don't know what those are. But we talk about the focus three. And I highly encourage you that your focus three becomes then something outside of your career every day. And it could be something as simple as working on a habit that you know is important for your health. So this week in my planner, one of my focus items is every day doing my anxiety devotional because I'm notorious for starting a habit and then doing it for 2 days and then quitting. So I literally wrote down every single day next week to do it and to like be able to check the box. It could be spending time reading or going for a walk. Obviously, those are things that could be for you too as part of those habits. Making sure that you have a conscious choice around doing things every day that are not a part of your career. And obviously, that could be a part of motherhood. I know that everyone's lives, especially nowadays, can feel extremely busy. What can you do every day that makes you feel like yourself? The other part of that, and I'm not a huge journaler, but again, kind of like sitting in silence and actually answering the things in my head work for me. Is, if you, I'm assuming, a lot of people have already gone through performance review season. Episode 22, kind of, I talked about performance reviews as well, which was kind of an ad hoc conversation. But if you haven't done this, start to sit and reflect on what do you want? And making sure that you're taking strides to do that. It's definitely, we're one quarter into the year. This doesn't necessarily have to be career related. This could be just life related, right? Doing that life audit of what do you want? What are you looking for? What's working for you right now? What's not? And making sure that you're intentional about those choices. Because the more that you can put intention behind it, the more alive you're going to feel. That is it. I'm going to wrap this up for the day. But again, I just wanted this to be kind of that little bit of an encouragement that you're not alone. If you have had those moments of like, where am I going now? Make sure that you take some time to reflect on your career, on what's going on. Know that you're more than your job. So thank you for listening to today's episode of the Being Better Everyday podcast. To see any visuals, head over to my YouTube channel. Or if you're on my YouTube channel and want to listen to the podcast, head over to your favorite podcasting platform and search for Being Better Everyday. Links, socials, and resources mentioned can be found on today's show notes. I'd truly appreciate you leaving a rating or review to help me reach more women looking to build systems for a peacefully productive life. If you're looking for more, you can find me on Instagram at julie.pwdesigns, sharing the behind the scenes of my everyday life as a millennial mom, corporate girly, and small business owner focusing on graphic design. Until next time, keep on taking one step at a time towards your version of being better every day.